This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
So here we were, Alec. We were sitting here in the Westin lobby in Charlotte, and we were just kind of going about our business yesterday, talking ACC football and the issues that present themselves, name, image, and likeness, how to get your athletic teams, your football teams, over the 85% vaccination rate, all of these things that we normally talk about at ACC football kickoff, and then the bombshell drops. In, well, I guess it's not Hoover, Alabama, but a reporter for the Houston Chronicle writes a story probably designed to get Texas A&M to react to it, which they did today, that, hey, Texas and Oklahoma, come on down. We're going to the SEC. And at the SEC Media Day, Greg Sankey and others, basically, they didn't deny it. They just went, no comment. I guess. Is it going to happen? It very well could. I'm not sure why Texas and Oklahoma necessarily want that, but we'll get to those types of things in a second. But we have talked about the fact that there was always going to be another wave of conference expansion. This would be a monumental occurrence, a monumental development in conference expansion, and it would also, I think, mean conference extinction for the Big 12. So, a very interested party, and we'll get into the mechanics of all of this, a very interested party in how this is going to look is Jimbo Fisher, the head coach at Texas A&M. They left the Big 12 for the SEC to get away from Texas. And all of a sudden now, Texas is coming back, maybe. Here's Jimbo Fisher on the news.
Kind of like it always was, like it was years ago, which is, we have another one of your great rivalries. But, again, we'll have to wait and see where we're at right now. And like I said, we're very happy where we're at. I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and, being the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that. I'll say this, though. Be careful what you ask for when you jump on this leg.
Well, here's the thing, and we're going to get to the AD of Texas A&M in just a second here. From a competitive standpoint, I don't understand the move for Texas or Oklahoma. Their path to, we'll just say an expanded college football playoff, right? Their path to an expanded college football playoff, if it goes to a 12-team model like the SEC really wants, is almost unobstructed in the Big 12. I mean, Oklahoma probably would be in that 12-team field every single year. Now, I would point out, Texas ain't exactly laying waste to the Big 12. They're struggling to beat Iowa State, struggling to beat Oklahoma State. Heck, they're having a hard enough time with Baylor and Texas Christian and Texas Tech. So, from a competitive standpoint, I don't really get it. From a Texas or an Oklahoma perspective, we know Texas A&M is going to vote no, given they're going to vote no. Missouri basically has said that they're going to vote no. But there still needs to be two other no votes to have this move nixed. And I will tell you this, it'll never get to a vote. It'll never get to a vote. Because if the answer is no, it'll never get to a vote. Nobody's going to vote, and all of a sudden it goes, well, didn't work. That ain't going to happen. So who are the other two schools that are likely to vote no? From a competitive standpoint, there should be about 10 other schools on the list of no. Why does Kentucky want this? Why does Vanderbilt want this? Why does Arkansas, basically in the on the right shoulder of Texas, why does Arkansas want this? Why does LSU want Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State? It makes their lives more difficult. So from a competitive standpoint, I don't get it. From a financial standpoint, now we're starting to see, like, is it, can they create an additional $400 million a year to not only absorb two more teams, but also to raise the level, the financial, you know, take? Because it doesn't make any sense if you're just getting back to where you are. The SEC distributes about $50 million annually to each school based on shared media rights. So, can not only can you bring in enough money in year one or, you know, over the course of each year to make that money back and get everybody back up to $50 million, but can you exceed it? Because there's no reason to do it if you're not exceeding it, unless all you want to do is accumulate pieces on a Monopoly board. Like, if you've already got Park Place and Boardwalk and the Green properties, why are you buying Baltic and Mediterranean? I don't mean to say that the Big 12 is Baltic and Mediterranean, but it's not, you don't just have to accumulate every property. Maybe that was a bad analogy. I don't know. Here's Texas A&M's athletic director, Ross Bjork, on the news of the day.
Our position is, look, there's a reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012, is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit. But from our perspective, we love being in the SEC. We love being the only program in the state of Texas. And we're going to maintain that position. But we're also going to make sure that we are a leader in college athletics, and we'll see what the future holds.
It is a complicated web. There is no question about it. Texas A&M, again, they left the Big 12 to go to the SEC in large part to get away from Texas. This is going to be a great story to watch and follow. Here's the offshoot of that before we move on to something else quickly, and then talk to Nick Stevens. The offshoot of this is, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, and we can debate whether or not Oklahoma can leave without Oklahoma State, there's nothing legally obligating Oklahoma to tying itself to Oklahoma State. But that doesn't mean that the state legislature in Oklahoma can't exert enough pressure on Oklahoma to not do it. My guess is that Texas doesn't need Oklahoma. Oklahoma may need Oklahoma State, and we'll see how all of that plays out. But let's just say Texas and Oklahoma leave. The Big 12 is dead. Dead, dead, dead. Toe-tagged dead. When their media rights are up in, 24, if this goes through, there's no reason for the Big 12 to still exist. And the reality of the situation is that all of those schools will be scurrying to find homes. And I don't know where Iowa State goes. I don't know where Iowa State goes. I mean, TCU, maybe. Baylor, I don't know. I mean, we're just talking about football teams now at this point. But Kansas has a home. I think Kansas can find a home in the Big Ten. But I don't know who else is that attracted. Who wants to go to the Pac-12? The Pac-12 is, I mean, you might have no, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech might have no other choice. They literally might have no other choice. But this is not, for those other eight schools, and Oklahoma State is in that mix, for those other eight schools in the Big 12, it might all be coming to an end. And that is sad if you're a fan of any of those teams. And I know we've got Iowa State fans in the audience because I hear from you when I don't praise Matt Campbell and his program. All right, real quick, I want to mention this because we're in this era of name, image, and likeness. There is a class of 23 basketball player playing in Charlotte, 17-year-old kid named Mikey Williams. Mikey Williams just signed with XL Sports Management. They believe he is the seventh-rated player in the 23 class, according to ESPN.com. He just signed with a marketing agency that thinks that he will make millions of dollars on his name, image, and likeness as a high schooler. Millions of dollars. By the way, Central is among the teams that has offered him. There are four HBCUs on Mikey Williams' list of schools that offered him. Arizona State's in there. I think Memphis is there. I don't know who else. But Central, Hampton, Tennessee State, and I'm trying to remember the fourth HBCU that offered him. Off the top of my head, I don't remember it, but it is a wide range of schools that Kansas also offered him. So we're talking about obviously a five-star player, an outstanding player. So good. We'll keep an eye on that. We're going to take a break in a second. Dabo Sweeney's going to join us on the other side. But before we do that, I want to let all of our listeners know about a brand new podcast from WRAL Studios. It's called Follow the Truth. Starts off by telling the story of Michael Jordan's father, James, who was murdered in 1993. And the show kind of digs through all the evidence and the trial. It questions whether the wrong person was convicted. It's hosted by WRAL-TV's Amanda Lamb. It's a fascinating listen. Find Follow the Truth now wherever you listen to podcasts. A long time ago, used to do a show with Joe Obvious. Remember him? Remember Joe? He does the 99.9 The Fan afternoon show in Raleigh. Well, Joe, I couldn't move Joe from the seat at our table. So Joe and I both talked with Dabo Sweeney, the head coach of Clemson, and I wanted to find out from Dabo what he thinks is the overall impact on college sports if Texas and Oklahoma jump to the SEC.
I mean, I think there's probably going to be some type of restructuring in college football coming down the pipe somewhere along the way. There's just too much going on, you know, with expansion and all these different things. So, you know, who knows? That's probably the first of many fastballs, curveballs, knuckleballs that'll come down the path here over the next several years. But I have no idea. I mean, I heard that last night just like everybody else, but who knows? I don't know. Maybe we're going to the Pac-12. We'll get us a on those jumbo jets and go see the world.
At this point, everybody's going to be in this SEC.
Dabo Sweeney, head coach Clemson, joining us here at ACC kickoff in Charlotte. Okay, I'm curious. You don't have to say who it was. I'm just curious if something like this happened. July 1 hits. Name, image, and likeness goes into effect. You see these deals coming up. And I know you've been asked about what you had said back in 2014, but I am curious if any of your coach friends roasted you a little bit in a text message, like, hey, so guess I won't be seeing you next year.
Yeah.
Did anybody have a little fun with you about that?
No, because my coach friends know what I said, I've never said anything about name, image, likeness. Mm-hmm. You know, that has not changed anything about the college model as far as scholarship and going to school. There's nothing changed. You know, people hear what they want to hear and they write what they want to write. I've always been for these guys to be able to make some money. I worked all through college.
Yeah.
But they're going to work. They're not being paid. This isn't professionalizing college athletics. They've got to go to school. They got a scholarship. They have obligations to me. This is just when they have time on their time. They have a chance to go make some money. Good for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to go home and do a camp or do an autograph session and somebody can pay that. I've never been opposed to that ever. Again, my words were professionalizing college athletics and getting away from, you know, the scholarship, getting away from the value of education. Mm-hmm. Those were my words.
So how does Clemson lean into that? I mean, you guys have an incredible brand. You guys were one of the first movers on social media to really make impacts on recruiting. And clearly you can utilize that to help boost player profiles too. So what is Clemson's, as you learn about this process, what is Clemson's plan to implement name, image, and likeness and with the players and education and everything else?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just executing the plan. I mean, this is something that's been coming down the pipe for a while. It's not like we just woke up on July 1st and said, oh, okay, let's figure this out. So, you know, the good thing for us is we were built for this. I mean, we've been doing Paul Journey for 12 years. You know, it's, you hear all these schools that come out with this program. We've been doing Paul Journey, which is basically a curriculum, for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the biggest thing in our program has been graduation. It's equipping these young men with tools for life, having a good experience, and winning a championship. That's what our program is about. That's what it's been about. That's what it's still about. Nothing has changed. The target is still the same. This is just another tool to add to that toolbox, you know, because now you have tax implications. There's another aspect that we have to come alongside, because our job is to educate and help them navigate. You know, we're not, you know, coordinating and doing deals. This is, you know, our purpose is the same. But you've got young people that now have some opportunity. Some will have some real opportunity, and making sure that we have the resources available is the key thing for us. And we've been doing Paul Journey forever. We have a living, breathing space. We're going to build a new place called the CAB. I call it the CAB, the Clemson Athletic Branding Institute. You know, what does a CAB do? It gives you a lift, but you got to pay the toll, right? Gives you a lift to that destination, but you got to pay the toll. You got to put the work in. And so, you know, we have a whole educational library that's a living, breathing thing online. They can go right to it, and they can get anything they want from, you know, about branding or marketing or LLCs or, you know, foundations or, you know, tax stuff, whatever. And so, you know, we're well positioned for that, and it's something that we've been prepared for a long time. But more importantly, the great majority of all the things that schools are putting in place now, we've been doing for 12 years. So it's really just more of the same for us. And I'm happy for these guys, man. I mean, I think it makes sense. I don't, quite frankly, I would have done it differently.
Okay.
Because I don't think it opens up opportunity for everyone. I would have liked to have seen them tie something more to the scholarship, you know, where, you know, everybody would have an opportunity to get something. So,
well, there's still time to do all of those things.
And hopefully that will eventually, you know, take place.
Yeah. We don't have any rules yet.
Right. Yeah.
We really are. I mean, we're just playing. Okay.
Well,
just,
there's rules. There's sort of. I think the biggest thing is, you know, you have the rules of your state.
Right.
You know, you have the rules of the NIL itself and what you can and can't do.
Yeah, the framework.
The framework of it, and then you have team rules, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, nobody's gonna be missing. Hey, listen, I gotta go do this autograph session.
Right.
Ain't gonna be at practice today.
Well, that's not gonna happen.
So,
we know that.
The biggest thing for our kids is use your resources, understand the rules. You have to be transparent. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our apps. We have all these things in place where you can be transparent. You know, again, use your resources. Let us help you educate and navigate. And then it's on your time. Yeah, and, you know, these guys have time. It's a 20-hour rule.
Seems like there's more educational opportunity for you and your program and the school to impart on these kids. And I actually think there's an added benefit to
Absolutely.
That. One quick thing about Trevor, what he tried to do last summer, raising money for somebody else to help somebody out using a GoFundMe, which they were initially told they couldn't do.
Yep.
Now they couldn't.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. So,
and that's common sense to me. You know, I mean, I think
it's college sports.
Yeah,
sometimes common sense in college sports don't go ahead.
You're right.
So I want to ask you about something you talked about on Tuesday. That when I thought you were speaking directly to me, where you were talking about the future expansion of the college football playoff. Talking about the players don't want to play more games. I agree there, but when you said I don't know if there's 12 teams good enough. There's no question that there are not 12 teams good enough to compete that are national championship worthy. The playoff, the four-team playoff, has sort of borne out that there's only like three or four on a year-in, year-out basis. You, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, which I don't believe has won one of these games yet, but still they get in there all the time. So you're right. But it's not about. It's not about are there 12 teams good enough. It's about how do we make more money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, this is being driven by money and maybe what the fans want. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but maybe it's what the fans want. That's what's driving it. And you know, I wasn't for going to four.
Right.
I was fine with the BCS. Yeah. I had no problem with that. College football's always been unique. We were the only unique sport. This makes us like everything else. And if that's what we want, then that's what we want. Just tell me the rules, we'll go with it. But, you know, we've got to find a way to save the bowls, number one. And then number two, for me, it may be what's best for the fans. It may be what's best financially, but it's not what's – adding games is not what's best for these players. And, you know, that's a fact. You know, these – when you get to that level, I can't imagine walking into the locker room in Tampa and in California after we just beat Alabama and say, all right, boys, we got just one more.
Yeah.
Just one more. And to me, that's such a lack of understanding of what it takes to win a game, especially at that level, and the toll that it takes on these guys. And these at that level, a lot of these guys on these teams are going to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so now you're asking them to play more games. So, hey, great, let's go do it. Just tell me the rules, and we're going to go to work. But I think it has to be tied to the regular season. I think if you want to expand there, then you need to, you know, maybe cut a game because asking them to play more games, start earlier in July, you know, because this is college. Mm-hmm. These guys go to school. There's a lot on them. They have pro aspirations and. You know, so I just think that it's become all about the playoff with four and with 12. You know, nobody was opting out when it was BCS.
Right.
And then as soon as we went to the playoff, you know, we got opted out. You go to 12, I wouldn't be surprised if you got guys opting out of the playoff.
I could be surprised.
You said that before. I think you're right. I know you got to go, but I want to ask you one quick question before you leave. Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach. NC State's baseball team got bounced from the College World Series because they were not that half the team that wasn't vaccinated. How do you get to your team? I know you said you were vaccinated. You can't tell them they have to be vaccinated. I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. But how do you say this could be an obstacle to winning a championship? How do you impart that on them?
I mean, just education, making sure all those things. They're aware of all these things. These are very smart. This isn't kindergarten. These are really, really smart young people that know what's going on, and so educating them, getting them the information, leading by example, you know, making sure that they, you know, hear from doctors and all this, and we've done all of
right.
those things.
Are you above 85%?
We're not quite there, but we're in a good spot, and we're hopefully we'll be where we need to be when we kick this thing off. But I think our
against
guys
against Georgia,
I think our
no
guys have done a great job. But the reality of it is, if you know, there's no doubt that it will be a factor for teams that you know are less vaccinated than others. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that.
Good luck. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate it.
It's the Adam Gold Show. We're at ACC football kickoff with Dave Doran, NC State head coach. We shook hands. I have hand sanitizer if you want.
Do you need it?
I don't. you may. I don't know.
No, I
wouldn't trust me.
I'm good.
I wouldn't trust. First of all, thank you very much for doing this. I want to thank you also for being one of our Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Absolutely.
Before the Super Bowl. I can't tell you how excited I was that you were willing to do that. So thanks again.
Just glad I didn't embarrass myself on that.
Nah, you were.
I was 2 out of 3, I think.
You did well.
Yeah.
You did well. Unfortunately, your guys didn't pull it up, but there's always next year.
It was hard to play that D-line that day without our starting tackles in that game. So,
amazing. What an offensive line. What an offensive line means to a football
team. It means everything.
Absolutely everything. All right. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First thing is I know you are a music guy. And
And
this is all about normalcy. So you went how long without being able to go to a concert?
Yeah.
Have you gone to a concert?
Yeah, so me and my wife, Sarah, and some really close friends went down to Key West to Mile Zero Fest, which is a music festival with country music, and all the Oklahoma and Texas musicians are there, and it was awesome. It was 5 days of live music. Like, it was so fun. Everybody there was just so happy to be seeing live music again, and So that was a great postseason trip that we took together and had a wonderful time.
I mean, that's – I mean, we've been – we played games without fans. That sucks for the players. It's bad for you. And now you get – do you get a sense that we're starting to be somewhat normal again?
Well, this makes it feel that way, you know, all this in-person interviewing that we haven't had in so long. But, yeah, I think we're getting close. You know, obviously the new strain that's out there is a concern, and so we're still trying to be smart.
Right.
We're still having to deal with COVID, everyone is, and monitoring what's going on and trying to read the best way to handle it. But we're in a better place, I think, than we were a year ago at this time. So,
I know Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12, Greg Sankey of the SEC, Jim Phillips all talking about vaccinations. Where's your team at? So we can I am frankly tired of that conversation.
Me
I'm
too.
Sure you are. So where is your team at in terms of that?
We're in a good place. Like, I can't give you the exact percentage, but
are you one of those over the 85% or you're
I don't know.
To
we're
it?
Close.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we could be over it, we could be on. There was guys doing it today. So like,
okay, good.
I don't know where we're at. Like, when I left town, we were around 80 and there was more going, so we'll end up in a good place. Like, you know, we're at a public university where they haven't mandated it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a coach, I can't mandate it. All I can do is provide education. And at the end of the day, it's a young man's decision. We're doing everything we can to make sure they know why you should or shouldn't possibly do it
right.
in your scenario. And trying to be as much of a football coach in this as I can and not a doctor, you know,
because right.
that's not my role.
How much conversation have you had with Elliott Avent? About we've what
talked.
They had to do.
Yeah, we've talked. And obviously the timing of their season's a lot different than what we're going into. And they didn't have someone to learn from like we do on them. But I feel bad for them. You know, I mean, I love Elliott. I love his team. And those kids had such a – young men had such a special season.
Yep.
So it was a crime that it ended the way it did. But it is an opportunity for us to study it and try to make sure that we understand it to the best of our ability going forward.
Dave Doran, NC State head coach, is here at Operation Football. I have to ask this question in such a way that it doesn't sound patronizing. I don't mean it in this way. Last year, you guys won every game you were supposed to win. All the games that we theoretically, dummies like me, we look at, we think State is better than that team. You won all of those games. Is that in any way a sign of progress within a program?
Probably is. You know, I never really think of it that way. I think we should win every game.
Okay.
But sometimes we're outmatched, or sometimes we underperform, or I get outcoached. You know, all those things can happen. But we had a fun team last year. And, you know, when you get into a game plan, you put the plan together, you execute. Well, I think we came from behind five times to win, which was pretty cool to see that on a roster because they were all different, you know, blocked kicks, offensive scores, defensive stops. It was pretty awesome to be a part of all that. But, you know, these guys want to be better than they were last year, and so we're just trying to help them into that situation here.
Let me ask you about the development of your quarterback, Devin Leary, who, you know, in year one, there was all sorts of hype. There were a lot of quarterbacks who were essentially in front of him. Eventually it got to him, and, I mean, it's not easy for every freshman quarterback to
yeah.
step in and just be a star. But there were signs last year. I think the Pitt game was
yeah.
really one, and it was early, but it stood out to me, where he looked the part. Then there were injuries, but what are your expectations for Devin?
Very high. You know, when we recruited him, he was a guy that had the best live arm I'd ever seen. And he was in a position where he had time to develop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Finley being here. So we had a chance to develop him a little bit. The toughest part for Dev, as you know, is Coach Drinkwitz left.
Mm-hmm.
Then we brought in another, you know, promoted a guy, and then I made a change. So it was really three different offenses for him. And so he's had to go through that. Now he's in his second year with Coach Beck, and that continuity is going to pay off for him. I know it is. He's got good players around him. Our receivers are all back, our running backs. And so he's got a chance to really distribute the ball to some talented guys.
Yeah, and confidence doesn't seem to be an issue for Devin, is it?
No, I think he's a, you know, he's a true believer in his ability.
Yeah.
He works hard, too. So, you know, it's one thing to be confident. It's another not to do the work behind the scenes, and maybe that's kind of false.
Right.
He works really hard. And so he's got that belief in himself because of his work ethic. And I also think the kids around him are doing the same. So he believes in the guys he's with.
And you have a fair amount of really talented players who are still around, guys that he can distribute the ball to. And, you got Bam Knight, and Emeka Ekezie is still there.
Yeah.
I think I completely messed his name up. But,
Emeka Ekezie, just
by a little. Thanks, Dennis. So there are legitimate, threats in your lineup. That's got to make you feel good.
I mean, Devin Carter's out there too. C.J. Riley in the slot there, Thomas. So we're still trying to get our tight end, Dylan Parham, to kind of step up and fill that void where Kerry Angeline was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's got great players around him. He does. And the offensive line's got good chemistry. So, when you get a team like I have right now, we're going to watch them compete. We're going to try to build the depth throughout camp. And then we got to keep them healthy. Like, we got to keep the same lineup on the field every week to the best of our ability. Something we haven't been able to do recently, and something we need to be able to do.
I mean, that's about attrition and the physicality of the sport. So what are your thoughts on an expanded playoff, which it's certainly not going to ask every team to play 17 games, but it's going to ask a lot of teams to play more games.
Right.
How do you feel? What are your thoughts on, lengthening the season?
I have mixed thoughts on it. I was a part of the 16-team playoff in Division I AA football when I was at Montana. We went to back-to-back national championships, so I've played in a long season twice.
Right.
And that takes a toll on your guys. It really does. Our spring balls were basically non-contact spring balls because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to shorten our regular season so that protects some of these teams that might play that many games? I don't want our bowl games to become a joke. I want our bowl games to be good bowl games. And right now, as you know, we have opt-outs for teams.
Sure.
I think that only gets worse when you're in the top 12 and then you're not in the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that for college football. I don't want it to be March Madness or the NIT.
Right.
I want the postseason to matter. And the playoffs and bowl games are the postseason. I think our commissioner and Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame presented to us yesterday. It was phenomenal to listen to those guys. We're very thankful as head coaches to have the inside scoop. There's a lot more information that they're going to be gathering on this whole thing.
Sure.
It's not a done deal yet. I'm not a for or against. I just want it to be thoroughly vetted before a decision is made so that the sport maintains what it is. It's a sport where a lot of teams get to go to bowl games. And those bowls are awesome for these kids. Like, they absolutely love them.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity to combine an important football game, but just with letting your hair down and doing goofy contests and
having a fun time with your players, man. They work so hard, So I just hope they don't lose that, and I hope they look at the health issues that could be created. And there's a lot of things they got to study, but they've done a lot of work, and we're thankful as head coaches that they've done it.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, Dave Doran, before I let you go. And your quarterback is going to sit down here. And we're both Jersey guys.
Good.
So, although I will tell him he's not from my Jersey, there are three different New Jerseys.
Where are you from?
I'm from North Jersey, which is really a suburb of New York City.
Right.
He's from South Jersey, which is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Our friend Joe Giglio is actually from the real Jersey, which is Central Jersey. Those are the people we make fun of.
Right.
Whether you're from Philly or you're from New York. You mentioned, you basically made allusions to last year and the schedule and all of that, and divisions. I loved stacking 1 through, and last year it was 1 through 15. I thought that was good for the league.
Yeah.
It would be great for scheduling if the league would schedule. Would you be in favor of getting rid of divisions, stacking 1 through 14?
Not against it. I think there's value in divisions. I do. I dislike our current setup where we don't get to play the other side enough. I've said this many times. I have players on my team that never played Duke.
Yeah.
We're here 5 years and never played a team 30 minutes away. I think that's a criminal thing for those guys, If they kept it the way it was and figured out a different way to rotate our teams that we played, I think that's awesome. If they dropped the divisions and let the best two play it out at the end, I'd be all in favor of that. But that's not my decision to make. But I'm not a fan of what currently exists. I don't like the way it's set up right now.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board. Just the scheduling purposes, I think the division alignments are kind of cyclical. Like, there was a time where the Coastal was better than the Atlantic, and there will be a time again where that's the case. You have been, and I think
I haven't
seen
that time
yet. I think you guys are going to be.
I've been here 8 years,
right.
And I haven't seen that time yet.
Well, because we've had it went from Florida State to Clemson, yeah. But there was a period where Clemson wasn't quite there yet, and it's just like there's probably more competition. I mean, I think you're going to be good. I think BC is – there's so many good quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, there is.
I mean,
nothing against the I played the Coastal Division last year. There's a lot of good teams in the Coastal. You know, I mean, that's what we basically did is played all the other teams. And I loved getting to see all those other teams. It was great for our coaches, our players. But, yeah, I just think, you know, come up with a little bit more variety for us and allow us to rotate, mm-hmm. whether we have to play 9 conference games or whether they figure out another way to do it.
Maybe you don't have to play everybody in your division.
Right? Yeah, rotate it.
By the way, your crossover games, you drew the short straw or the long straw, UNC and Miami, and you're playing at Mississippi State. Hey, look, I think you guys are, again, what do I know, but I think you guys are going to be good. I think you'll win You'll win your share of those
They got to play us too, man.
That is exactly
I'm looking forward to it.
There was a basketball coach that once said, they got to guard us, pal.
Yeah.
So – thank you very much for sitting down.
Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. And thank you for goofing off with us when asked. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So this is what we do here.
We'll see you.
Devin Leary is the quarterback at NC State, and he joins us. As I just told your head coach, Dave Doran, I'm also a Jersey guy.
Okay.
You're a Jersey guy. But I don't know if you have – thought about this as much as I have. I'm much older than you. New Jersey is actually 3 different states.
Yes.
I'm from New York, the New York City part of New Jersey.
Okay.
You're from the Philadelphia part of New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
All right. And our friend Joe Giglio is actually from the Jersey that we make fun of.
Central
Jersey.
Yeah.
That's where the Jersey Shore, those people,
mm-hmm.
they're all from that
okay.
part of,
okay.
New,
yeah.
of New Jersey.
It is very divided.
Yeah, it's like a rivalry.
I know, within our own state.
You grew up an Eagles fan?
Yes, sir.
Right? See? Yeah. I grew up a Mets fan, Jets fan.
Yeah, I was Eagles, Phillies.
Man.
Yeah.
See? Same state, completely different mindset.
Way different, yeah.
How has this summer been different, better, obviously, than last summer?
You know, I think this summer is like – it's been tremendous just because, like, every single day guys are excited to work. No right. one is complaining. No one is, oh, man, it's 6 a.m. Like, everyone's like, all right, we're in here to get better. Let's get in, get out, get our work in. And everyone kind of has the same determined approach, which is actually very fun and exciting to see. Being a player myself, being able to lead these guys, it's not very hard to lead people that want to do it.
Right.
And that's kind of been what I've viewed this whole offseason, and it's been really fun.
I bet it has. What was it like playing in front of nobody?
It was different. It was a lot different. You had to really bring your own energy on the sidelines and had to get yourself hyped up a little bit. I mean, you weren't running into a stadium that was completely packed where you can't hear anything. And, like, it was way different, too, because you could hear the coaches on the sideline.
Yes.
Like, get off the ball, get off the ball. And it's like you're hearing your coach right here that you rarely ever hear in a game. So – it was definitely different, but I'm excited to get the fans back in.
Did it almost feel like a practice?
It did. It did. Sometimes. I would say it felt like a scrimmage a little bit.
Right.
But some games, you know, they had the crowd noise on the speakers in some stadiums. So it would sound like there was a crowd, but then you look up and it would just be like cardboard boxes in the seats. And it's like, oh.
Fake noise.
Yeah, fake noise. But, yeah, it was definitely different. It was definitely different.
Devin Leary is joining us here at ACC Football Kickoff. I remember a couple of years ago, your first active season, you had already been in the program. And obviously there's a transition period, and it wasn't what you wanted. Last year, and I was talking to your coach about this, last year, that game against Pitt was an eye-opener for a lot of people who maybe had doubts about Devin Leary. Walk me through what happened in your development from year one to last year in terms of how comfortable you were running the offense?
Yeah. So, I mean, my time here at NC State has been a little unique. I had 3 different coaches, quarterback coaches, 3 different offensive mm-hmm. coordinators. My freshman year, I came in under Coach Drinkwitz, and Ryan Finley was the starting quarterback. And then the following year, I had to transition. Coach Roper, Kurt Roper, became our quarterback coach. And we had two different co-offensive coordinators, George McDonald and Desmond Kitchens. And, you know, that whole process was, I would say, it was a really good learning experience. I had to really understand that just because a senior guy is graduating, going to the NFL, doesn't necessarily mean I'm the next guy up. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be earned. And kind of taking that approach of being able to understand defense, being able to actually understand football before you step onto the field was very critical for me. So by the time that following year, which was my redshirt freshman year, my first start was against Wake Forest, was very eye-opening that, wow, like this is college football. You need to be prepared. You need to know what's going on before you step out in between the lines. And now that following year, Coach Beck gets here, and obviously we, by the time he got here, was going through COVID protocols and everything. And but I mean, I picked up on his offense so fast and understood defenses so well that I was trying to be one step ahead of him. And when my time came last year and he gave me the start, Coach Doran announced me that I was able to start that pick game, was kind of like, okay, this is where I need to be, and I know what I can do and what I can accomplish.
Yeah, and you even had your own COVID issues at the start of the season, right?
Yes, sir. I had to actually got contact traced about a week out before our first game, and or 2 weeks out before our first game, and had to sit, 14 days. So it was a different process.
I know everybody's sick and tired of answering and asking questions about vaccines and COVID.
Yeah.
What's your role as a leader of the team in terms of making sure everybody is ready to go? And that, I guess that does mean being vaccinated and all that.
Yeah, so personally I am 100% vaccinated. But my role as the leader is really what the approach that I like to take, and the coaches are really taking a similar approach, is educating everyone on these vaccines, educating everyone on what's going around before they make that decision. Because at the end of the day, it is your own personal decision. Mm-hmm. It is up to you whether or not you want to receive the vaccine. But being able to apply and give as much possible education to us student athletes of what we're about to receive or what could potentially be at risk.
Right.
I mean, you see what happened with the NC State baseball team. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be consequences so fast. But for everyone to understand that before they make that decision is very important.
Fayer, who has played some baseball, mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I did a game a couple of years ago where Thayer was in the lineup. What does he have to say about, I'm sure he's got tons of friends on that team. That had to be devastating.
Yeah, he was actually in Omaha.
That's right.
He went to the game, and, he was like, everyone was at a loss for words. Like, people didn't believe it was true. People didn't believe it was really happening. But, from that point on, everyone was like, okay, COVID's not over. Like, this vaccine is, it's going to help us not get sick, but it could still potentially send you home, which it did. And that was kind of Thayer's thing, was like, he didn't believe it was true until it really happened. And once it really happened, he was like, wow, like, this is the real deal.
Devin Leary is here, NC State quarterback. NC State has become quarterback university, QBU. Mm-hmm. We see guys in the NFL. We have tons of them there. I mean, there have been other great quarterbacks, too, that have played for the Wolfpack. There more pressure because there's a legacy, whether it's Russell Wilson or Philip Rivers or Mike Glennon or Ryan Finley. These guys are all in the league.
Yeah, and honestly, no. I don't feel any pressure at all. I feel more honored. I mean, I'm honored that Coach Doran named me the starting quarterback here. And I mean, to follow up off of all those guys, it's kind of like, okay, this is what I need to do. They came to NC State. They did their job and built what we call quarterback U now. And now I'm just fulfilling that same role that they did. So I wouldn't necessarily take it as pressure, more of just an opportunity that I'm very excited to take advantage of.
All right, final thing. What is the new wave, NIL, all of the issues that are right now, bombarding college sports? How have you taken all that in?
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. It was like July 1st, they were just like, all right, here, take it, run with it. And it was like, wow, like, this is real. This has finally happened. And me personally, I like it. I think it's a great opportunity for us players to use our platform to brand ourselves. And whether businesses are reaching out to us or different sponsorships, I think it's a great opportunity. Me, myself, I haven't dove deep into it yet. I'm still trying to figure out the ins and outs, the different regulations, and the only thing that I've really done is a cameo. I've set up cameo in an app.
Have you?
Yeah, so I've done like different birthday shout outs. I had to give some pep talks to people. It's pretty cool, but I think the more that people get used to it and the more that people get adjusted to it, it's going to pick up so much more, especially in the season.
A birthday cameo from Devin Leary.
Yes, sir.
That would be awesome. Hey, thank you very much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I look forward to watching you this year, Devin. I appreciate it. And you're from Philly, the Jersey.
Nah.
No, because I'm from – people ask me where you're from. I always say I'm from New York.
Okay.
But it's okay. I tell them Montclair, which is, you know, 15 minutes outside the city.
I know Montclair,
Hey, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.